Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
Just coming up to 11:30 on a Friday. Friday morning, we're always in a good mood on a Friday. And I've got Martin Smith, who's the corporate and commercial partners at Woodfine Solicitors, joining me now. So, Martin, are you in a good mood on a Friday?
Yeah, it's nice and warm in here.
But you just need to speak a little bit more into the mic.
Okay, nice and warm.
Oh, hang on a sec. I'll tell you what, if I turn the mic on, that really improves things. How about that?
Even better.
Yes, oh, perfect. I can hear your dulcet tones. Yes, it is warm in here, isn't it?
It is.
And that's with the air. You should try it next door, our other studio.
I can imagine.
I sometimes bring my tomato plants in there on a Saturday when I'm doing a programme and, you know, they grow while I'm presenting the programme.
Yeah, I got some new shirts yesterday. It's a good job I'm not wearing one of them.
Have you? So when you buy a new shirt, are they formal shirts?
They're formal shirts. Yeah.
So do you take them out of the packet and then just put them on? Because then they have those kind of lines on them.
That is a very good question. You're meant to take them out of the packet and put them in the wash, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I don't go as far as the wash. You're right. Because they've also got something like that. I don't know. My neighbour always says, "Oh no, he doesn't like the way a new shirt feels." But yeah. I don't put them in the wash, but I do give them a bit of an iron.
Yeah, I can see why you do that.
Yes.
It looks very strange when you've got lines across your chest.
It does, but I have been at meetings with people who you can tell they're just wearing a new shirt because they've got the shirt looks kind of new, but they've got those lines on them. I've been to a few meetings with people like that.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yes, yes. So you're a man who, well, tell us a bit about what you do at Woodfines, because you're a corporate lawyer, aren't you, by profession?
That means mostly buying and selling companies and businesses.
Right.
Which is what I've come in to talk to you about today. And when I buy and sell businesses or companies for people, quite often they have a business. It can be any kind of business, and they've got a freehold property sitting in there as part of the business. And in some ways that works perfectly well, because it means that business doesn't have to pay rent necessarily in a bad year. It means that you don't have the landlord pouring over you, trying to get you to cough up money that you haven't got. It also works very well in terms of inheritance tax planning, because there's something called business property relief.
Right.
And the shares in a private company are benefit from business property relief, so you don't pay inheritance tax on them. So having a freehold sitting in a company, when you sell the shares of that company, it causes the issues that I'm going to talk about. Having the shares in that company, if you actually pass those on to your nearest and dearest on death, actually works very well.
Right.
So before I say what I've come to talk to you about, I should say it has upsides as well as downsides, and it works from an inheritance tax point of view. It works from a practical point of view. That's why so many people do it.
I see. And is this something that a lot of business people aren't aware of? Is this a sort of an area of tax planning and law that perhaps people don't think about as much as they should do?
Well, the thing that actually blindsides most people is the numbers.
Right.
It's not tax. It's the pure valuation of a business. If I own a company, and I go to one of the eminently capable intermediaries who'll find me a buyer for my company.
Yes.
They'll value my company for me on what's called a multiple of earnings is the usual way of doing it. And the classic formula is that you multiply the cash flow that the business generates by a multiple, and that's how you value it. So cash flow, which the accountants have this EBITDA, which stands for earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization, but is cash flow to you and me.
Yes.
You multiply that by four or five if you're lucky, and you sell your private company. Now, the thing about property is you don't value it on a multiple of four times its earnings.
No.
You value it on what's called a yield, say 6% for commercial property. So if you do the maths, if you put 100 over 6, That's 16.666 recurring. So the ratio of value to earnings for a business and for a commercial property are completely different. They're in a completely different ballpark. So instead of being a ratio of 1 to 4 or 5, it's a ratio of 1 to 16.6666. Now, once people realise that, they realise that they're selling their Mercedes for the price of a Vauxhall Viva by selling the property at the same multiple that they're selling their business for. And so they say, hang on, I'm not going to do that. That's crazy. I need to strip it out. I need to sell it separately.
Yes.
By the time they've got an offer on the table for the business, it's too late. So the reason I'm talking to you today is that a bit of foresight, a bit of planning, and a bit of awareness of this issue can basically move the Mercedes out of the garage. You don't have to sell it at the price of a Vauxhall Viva when you come to sell your business. So the way you do that is you do a demerger of the property out into a separate company before you sell the trading company.
Right.
And there are a couple of different mechanical ways you do that, and you need to do it well in advance. And you run it as a separate business.
And would most people who are looking to buy a business, you describe the pitfall that someone selling a business can fall into, that they end up selling the property based on the same valuation formula that's applied to valuing the business, and that's not a logical way to do it with property.
Yeah.
Is that something that unscrupulous people who are buying businesses are aware of and get away with? Is that a common pothole people fall into?
If you can buy a business with it either its own cash flow or raising the money against the assets in that business, then you're quits in, because you're not having to find any of your own money.
Right.
And indeed, if you can buy a nice business that's got a nice freehold in it, that you, if that's an easy asset to raise a mortgage on, then it helps you buy the business.
Yes.
So that there is an issue that arises from doing what I'm suggesting, which is to hold the two separately.
Yes.
In that it makes it more difficult for a buyer who wants to raise money against the assets they're buying to raise the money.
Right.
Because instead of having a nice freehold,
yes,
to go and borrow against,
you've
got to find the money somewhere else. So you can borrow against book debts, you can borrow against plant machinery, but that's not quite as easy as borrowing against a nice freehold property.
And would a lot of people who are looking to acquire a business, would it be the case that for some buyers they're not necessarily worried about getting a property, maybe bigger buyers, so therefore,
well, a lot of buyers don't want they have various, I mean, big corporate buyers have various ratios they apply to their business, and one of them is return on capital employed. So they wouldn't want a freehold, they wouldn't want to tie up their own capital in holding a freehold property, because that's not the way they run their business. They're looking for a much bigger return on the capital that they put into an acquisition,
right,
than a property would give them.
Yes.
Because property, as we've discussed, it yield of 6% or whatever the right number is at the moment, that's not a big return, that 6%, on the money that the entrepreneur or the business is investing in buying the company.
Yes.
They want a much bigger return than that.
Yes.
And so they prefer not to buy the freehold in the case of big corporate buyers. In the case of, as we said, someone who actually wants to borrow against the assets they're buying, there's a different conundrum, because it makes it more difficult to raise
the
money.
So I suppose it's a scale thing, isn't it? Depending on, you know, the size of whoever is making the acquisition and all of that kind of thing. And do you find, when you talk to people looking to sell businesses with property, that this is a common thing that people haven't really thought about?
It depends on how much pre-thinking they've done before they get to the table and decide to sell their companies. If they haven't had any advice at all, and they turn up with an offer on the table and with the property still in the company, then it comes as a bit of a nasty surprise to have to pay three lots of tax, effectively.
Yes.
Because the company itself will have to pay corporation tax on the capital gain if you take the property. We're talking about someone who's decided to take the property out.
Yes.
So to take the property out at absolutely the last minute alongside a sale of the company means you're actually adding the property to the cash you're receiving. You're getting the property and you're getting some cash for your business.
Yes.
So there's a capital gain on which corporation tax is charged in the company. There's SDLT in terms of transferring the property out. And you also, as a seller, are treated as receiving the property along with the cash. So you'll pay, say, 10% tax on the value of the property that you're taking out.
And can there be In some situations where someone's selling a business, I've known of people who have maybe had a property and have sold a business but have retained ownership of the property and then become the landlord of the business, well, of the company that are buying the business.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
That's how it works, is it? Yeah.
The way it works is that people do the maths that we've just talked about. They'll realise that they don't want to sell the property alongside the company.
Yeah.
So they'll either pay that three lots of tax, potentially.
Yes.
And end up with the property and be the landlord of the new owners.
Yeah.
Or they'll have pre-planned and done it slightly more tax efficiently a while before they get offers on the table and run it as a separate business in advance of selling the company. So as you say, either way, being landlord of the new owners of the business.
Yeah. And I suppose the message here, as we start to talk about all of this, you've said a couple of times that, and I imagine people will come to you, they'll get legal advice at the point where they think they've done the deal and they're going to sell the business and it's all going through. Ah, I know, right, let's get the lawyers involved. And I think what you're saying is, if you're looking to sell your business, get us involved early on in the process and then we can, you know, we can plan accordingly.
Yeah, ideally before you've even started the process at all.
Yes.
So really, if it's in contemplation of sale, you're too late. You've got to do it as a separate exercise to separate out the two businesses well in advance of selling the business.
Yes.
And then you'll get tax clearance for running them as two separate businesses. And you demerge one company and you end up with two companies. So you'll end up with shares in the company that is the trading company. You'll end up with shares in a separate company which owns the property.
Yes.
So you don't end up with the property in your hands. You end up with the shares of a property company by virtue of this demerger.
Yes. But
what that does mean is that you can sell the shares of the trading company and you don't have triple tax on the property because it was never part of the sale in the first place. You've actually separated it all out well in advance and run it as a separate business. Now, I should say that, you know, apart from pre-planning in terms of disposals, we've talked about the downside relating to inheritance tax, but there's also a good commercial reason for keeping your property outside your trading business.
Yes.
Which is people end up being accidentally successful as a result of increasing property prices. In a place like Cambridge, a lot of people's wealth is tied up in their property, and when they first bought their house, they wouldn't have thought of that. So if you're running a slightly risky business where you're, you know, it might be in a sector which is not necessarily a sector that's going particularly well, you can be blindsided by changes in technology. You could be Blockbuster, for example.
Yes.
You could be happily the market leader in selling or renting out VHS cassettes, and then suddenly VHS cassettes are something nobody wants anymore. So if you have got a business that could be blindsided by changes in technology and you've got a property, it's very good, you know, not all eggs in one basket planning, to hold your assets separately. So yeah. if your Blockbuster business goes belly up, you haven't lost the value that you've created and the wealth that you've built up in the property.
Yeah, I mean, that's an extremely relevant point, isn't it, in the sort of economy that we're living in at the moment with technology, with machine learning, artificial intelligence. You know, traditional businesses are very rapidly in some sectors suddenly finding that their businesses are falling off the edge of a cliff. And as you say, if you have a property, that could be your lifeline, couldn't it? That could be the key to, okay, you may not continue to trade in the business you've been trading in, but you can still have an income for the future.
Well, the reason, I mean, just to go right back to where we started, that all of that maths relating to how you value a business, how trading business, how you value a property, you value a property on a much higher multiple because it's a much more low-risk asset. It's a much safer place to have your money.
Yes.
So you've got two completely different risk profile assets. You're putting them in the same basket. You're subjecting your low-risk asset to a high-risk business profile by keeping them in the same company.
Yes.
So you want to look after your nearest and dearest and the wealth you've created. There's a lot to be said for keeping them separate and just in terms of risk planning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not betting the ranch every time you order a new bunch of stock to go on the shop shelves.
It's a fascinating area, and I think we could talk on, but time has run out. But the good news is, if people do want more advice or maybe thinking about selling a business or starting to sell a business, you're there, aren't you? Woodfines are available to talk about this. Martin can spend time with you. And if you want to get in touch with Martin Smith, he's the corporate and commercial partner at Woodfines Solicitors, you can reach him, mssmith@woodfines.co.uk. That's his email address, mssmith@woodfines.co.uk. You can ring him on Cambridge 411-421. That's Cambridge 411-421. We've just had 10 minutes with Martin. It's been a fascinating insight into the business of selling a business and the things you need to think about. And there's lots more to it than that as well, isn't there? Yeah. So, Martin, thank you very much for coming in. I'm going to let you get back to ironing some shirts.
Thank you.
And putting them in the washing machine.